you do when you need a kidney? My wife has a kidney disease. It's a hereditary one. She didn't catch it. She was born with it. There's no cure. What happens is things happen in the kidney and they grow and they gradually weaken and finally someday they don't function anymore. The letters go like PKD and SRD. They're all these terms and I've learned a lot of them. I've learned a great deal of them. One of the toughest ones I've had to remember is nephrologist, nephrology, nephrectomy, all these crazy things. But anyway, she found out about this about 15 years ago after we had all our kids. And that comes into the story at a couple points. But 15 years ago, there's no pain. She didn't feel anything wrong with it. She's a perfectly healthy person, just found out she had this condition. They said, eventually, we'll start checking this other word, creatinine, and it'll hit a certain level, and at that point, you'll have to go on dialysis. Another one of those great terms. So my wife handled this beautifully for a number of years by a process she called denial. And it worked extremely well. But eventually, with a couple of tests, they said, well, you have to go in, you have to go see a nephrologist. So she goes to see a nephrologist, and the nephrologist says, you are a very healthy person. He said, but you do have PKD, and you will have to go on dialysis at some point. We'll start checking your creatinine. However, Judy, you also are healthy enough to qualify for a transplant, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because we're all born with two kidneys, but one will do the job. Please remember that. Anyhow, he said, so he sent us up to Hopkins. We met the transplant people, and sure enough, we went through. She does qualify for a transplant. And we look at him and say, well, that's fine, but what happens? So they say, well, the best thing to do is to get a live donor, get a volunteer donor. That's the best way to do it because it works better. And if you can get this volunteer before you go on dialysis, that's even better. Okay, well, that's good, but what do you do when you need a kidney? We need a kidney. Can we have one of yours? We didn't even feel comfortable asking one of our kids for a kidney. So the surgeon says, you don't ask somebody for it. What you do is you tell people the situation you're in. And you know what? There's somebody out there who wants to do that kind of a thing. Well, okay, we did. And first off, ones were actually my kids. So happens that three of them have the same disease. And therefore, they're immediately eliminated. And so we hold two in reserve for those three. How it works out. Then we had a lot of volunteers from church, which was really kind of nice. The only trouble there is many of them were close to my age and many of them have the same American disease that a lot of us have, hypertension. You're eliminated instantly, and a number of other diseases. And in that group, we also had one or two cocktail party volunteers. let's get together for lunch someday. Yeah, I'll give her a kidney. Yeah, sure. Well, that world just didn't work. So dialysis comes. She goes on dialysis. Not a happy situation. Machine takes your blood out, cleans it up, puts it back in again. And you sit there for 4 hours, three times a week. And you're tired after that. So, some people, Art Buchwald, they made one of his decisions when he said, who calls that living? And so he decided not to have dialysis when it happened with him, and he fooled everybody for a long time. It doesn't work that way. Usually they wind up in the, like that. So anyway, she goes on, and the average waiting list for the cadaver has been growing. The demand for kidneys gets higher and higher. The volunteers stay steady. The people who sign the pledge, who wear the pin, this kind of thing. That stays steady. They need more. Anyway, so she stays on. It gets discouraging. It gets tiring. Wonder if everything's going to happen. You check on this list. Where are you on the list? Well, you can't tell because there are 15 different ways of figuring out what this list is. There's this condition. There's this age. There's this. It goes on and on. But you stay in touch with these people, the coordinators. So finally, it was about 2 years of dialysis. It's Easter Sunday. Thank you. My wife is been staying away from church because she hates being greeted as a patient. Oh, Judy, how are you? How's it going? Can't stand it. Hates it. She's a singer, a performer. She's been on this stage. That's the way she likes to be thought about. Anyhow, Easter Sunday, we go to church. Early service because not many people are there and there's no music. She's a singer, but there's no music and it's quiet. We go in. We're greeted by somebody, a lovely lady who says, oh, Judy, how are you? I spend the next 5 minutes telling her, she means it, honey, she cares. You know, she doesn't mean to be mean. So, then what happens? What happens with this Sunday, it's Easter Sunday, new organist we have comes in there and plays at the end of the service one of the rousing Easter hymns. And when my wife sings in church, everybody knows it. But it's good. So, afterwards, a number of people come up to her the nice way at this point and say, Judy, it was so nice to hear you sing again. A lot of them. She felt good. We go home. We're sitting down for an early Easter breakfast. I have an office downstairs. The phone rings. Who the hell is calling me this hour of the morning, Easter Sunday, to talk about cars? Mercedes or not? You know, so, I go downstairs. I'm fuming at this point. I go to, the phone stops ringing when I get there. I look at the caller ID. I don't recognize the name. I said, oh, not going to get away with it that easy. I'm ready. Beautiful sounding voice. It's the lady who greeted us at church. Phil, I just wanted to tell you something. I'm staying with my daughter. That's why you didn't know the name. She never asked me about church. She asked me about it this Sunday. I said it was lovely. She said, we never have music in the 7:30 service. We did this Sunday. And Judy Meter sang. It was so wonderful to hear her singing again. But the poor thing needs a kidney. That's okay, Mom. I'll give her mine. I don't know this woman. I know the mother. She's telling me this. Guess what's happening with this guy? You know, they're starting to come down. This is Easter, folks. You want to hear an Easter story? It's an Easter story. So she said, would you like to talk to her? Would I like to talk to her? Is she crazy? Is she a nut? You know, what have I got? Okay. Yes, I'd love to talk to her. This voice gets on the phone. Nice, beautifully modulated, not insane, except for one little thing. I said, this is wonderful. I said, you know, you have to go through a whole series of tests. They watch the donors very carefully. She said, yes, I know. I've been through it before. No, Phil, I don't have three kidneys. I went through all the tests, and the person I was going to donate to, their blood pressure went so crazy they wouldn't let it happen. But it's okay. She moved to Dallas, Texas. She has one now, and everything's fine. Okay, good. So I hang up the phone. I'm bawling my head off. My wife doesn't know anything about this conversation. She thinks I'm being obscene and I'm embarrassing the world. But just myself. So I Google this woman. You know, we do that. She has a story, but that's another 25 minutes, and they'll hit me over the head back here with the hook. So that's it, but it's a wonderful story. I go upstairs, again, I tell my wife about this, you know, and she says, yeah, it's wonderful. I said, I even told her, I gave her the number of the people to call. I don't know, we'll see. We'd been discouraged. So the next morning, I pick up the phone, I call the transplant coordinator, and I said, you know, I think we have a live donor. She says, yes, I know, she's already called. Yeah. Well, this story became the Easter story. There are a number of tests. They watch the donors very carefully. Because as they told me, Phil, if we took some healthy person's kidney, and a couple years later they needed one, how would everybody feel about that? Okay. So they're doing the tests. And the first one, the hospital doesn't tell you, but she calls me up and says, Phil, it sounds good so far. If you guys still want to go through with it? I said, do we still want to go through with it? Come on. So we go. We meet for breakfast for the first time with her husband. I want to be sure he approves. He says, once Glenda makes up her mind, that's what's going to happen. Okay. The two women are talking to each other. My wife also has a nursing background. Glenda says, of course, we don't want to do it this summer. And I'm standing like an idiot saying, why not? Silly, that's when the interns start. So they go through the next test. This is April, remember, Easter Sunday. This is April, May, another bunch of tests, some more a little bit later. Get to August, the final test. We both all know about it. Glenda says she feels wonderful. She says it's exciting. Now we'll be able to plan in September when the kids are back at school, you know, all this kind of stuff. just wonderful. We're very happy about it. I go to work. I had got a cell phone purely for the transplant people. I'm in the car, headed home, phone rings. My wife's in tears. What's the matter, honey? It's Glenda. What do you mean? Well, they scanned her kidneys. They found a growth in one. So she calls. Glenda then calls me a little bit later and says, Phil, I have to thank you guys for saving my life. Anybody want to talk about mixed emotions? She's had it removed. They heard that one. It was cancer in one kidney. She's doing fine. Yes, we hit rock bottom. That was very discouraging. And that was a year ago. There's a happy ending, folks. This May, we got a call on this one. The 13th call, by the way, to say, come on up to Hopkins. We went up. And on the night of May 31st and the morning of June 1st, my wife has a wonderful 43-year-old kidney. Sign that card, folks. There are an awful lot of people who need organs. And if you're dead, they're not doing you any good. There's the further happy ending, just to add to one more thing, something to look forward to. Is this February, Judy and I, the singer, the performer, the mother of five, the grandmother of about to be three, we celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. Thank you.